Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm Morris Gurr. I said that a couple of weeks ago to a couple that came in. They said, "We know who you are." And I'm thinking, oh, did they Google my name or what, you know? Because you will find out some things sometimes. Just Google someone's name and watch what comes up sometimes. I need to take a deep breath, so won't you take one with me? Just let it out. I love that. I shared at the first service that there was, years ago, there was a song that came out about, "This is the air I breathe." Remember that? "This is the air I breathe. His holy presence living in me." And a lot of times, I just need to take that deep breath and He's living in me. Amen? Amen. When I was preparing for this message, I clearly heard the Lord speak to my spirit to keep it simple, Morris, and he said it more than once. So I inquired, does that mean if it's simple, it's short? And I didn't get a response. So, but he did say, make it practical. And we got some practical things we'll get into after we Look at a couple things that were happening, what the scholars call the intertestamental period, 400 years of silence between the Old Testament and the New Testament, where most scholars say God just wasn't speaking. But listen, God was doing things. God was preparing things. Amen?
Amen.
So twofold point to this message. One is I'm going to tag on to some scriptures that Pastor Phil shared with us out of Ephesians. There's a couple of passages there. And I also want it tag on to what's happening in the season we are coming into, or we're in, actually. A season of thanks, a season of giving, a season of receiving, a season of caring, a season of love and joy and peace and compassion. That's the season we're in right now. And I just love this season that the Lord gives us to walk through every year. I really do. It's amazing to me. During that 400 years of silence, like I said, things were happening. Things were happening historically. Things were happening politically in the world. Things were happening socially. So I'm not going to go into all the details, but I want to mention three things because I believe it ties in to what my message is about, and that's God is the center of it all. Amen. And I could probably just say that God is the center of it all. And okay, let's have a closing prayer, because if we get hold of that, we've got hold of a lot in our life, that he is the center of it all. So one of the things that were happening during the Persian period, and that's like 450 AD to 330, BC to 330 BC, is that the Jews were still allowed to carry on their religious observances in the temple. And that was good, because that kept them on track with what they had been learning for centuries before that. During another period called the Hellenistic period, 330 BC to 165 BC, Alexander the Great believed that the Greek culture was what was going to unify the world at that time. And it did help. So what happened during that period is that the Torah, the first five books of the Bible, and the Psalms, and probably some of the prophets, got translated from Hebrew into Greek so more people could read. All right? So that was happening. Very important, because we know that the New Testament was written in Greek. Amen? So another thing, socially, what was happening within the Jewish community, the Jewish church at that time, there were two main factions arose. There was a third, but it was short-lived. But the two main factions were the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And we read about them in the New Testament. And from that, we find out that the Sadducees became the temple party, party of the temple, to keep all that going. The Pharisees became known as the party of the synagogue. And that's where the Torah was read, the scriptures were read, the scriptures were studied. And what we see later on in the New Testament, the importance of that, of having the synagogues, is that Jesus himself started teaching in the synagogues, and so did the apostles after. So that was an important thing taking place. So a lot of things taking place politically there. But then God begins to break silence. He sends the angel Gabriel to Zechariah and lets him know that his wife Elizabeth is going to be with child. And they had been barren, childbarren forever. And that he's to call his son John. And we know that as John the Baptist. Then he sends the angel Gabriel to Mary and says, God's favor is upon you. You will bear the Christ child. And then he sends an angel to Joseph and said, it's okay. Mary is going to bear the Christ child. So God begins to speak through his angels. Then he sends the angels to the shepherds out in the fields and proclaims that the Christ child is born. God is breaking silence. And I got to believe, and this is just me thinking, because this is when we celebrate Christmas here in the Western Hemisphere, is this time of year, is that on that night in that stable in the town of Bethlehem in a manger, there was a cry that came forth from that manger. A newborn babe. Can you hear it in your mind's eye? Can you see that in your mind's eye? That cry coming forth, just like any newborn. Except this was the voice of God. This was the voice of God. And he's been with us ever since. But I want you to see that he was there in the beginning. He was the center of it all in the beginning. You know, Jesus is the only man that split time. Not time on a clock, but time in years. Depending on when you look at when they actually started it, we go from B.C. to A.D., B.C. before Christ, A.D., Anno Domini, which means the year of our Lord. Now think about this. No matter if you say a date, write a date, read a date, or involved in a date, you're declaring what? The year of the Lord. Amen. No matter. Worldwide. Dates are written worldwide. The man that split time. Let's turn to Genesis chapter 1. He was the center of it all at the beginning. Then we're going to look at some scriptures. He's the center of it all presently and into the future. We're going to look at those scriptures. And then some practical things on keeping him at the center of our lives. Genesis 1, chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. God saw that the light was good, and he separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. God the Father, the Holy Spirit hovering. And when God said, let there be light, there's the word. Now hang on to that. There's the word being spoken. Okay? I had a biblical scholar, I believe it was, who Jessica teach the Bible like sometimes way above my head, but one time he brought this down just very simply for me when I heard him say it, to see that the Father, Son, and the Spirit were there all together in one. He said, the Father thinks it, the Son says it, and the Holy Spirit activates it. I'm a simple person. That I can understand that. God thinks it, Jesus says it, and the Holy Spirit is there hovering, just waiting. When is he going to say the word? Light. And then bam, the Holy Spirit. There's the light. And it's still light's being created today. Never stops. Let's turn to the chapter, the book of John, fourth chapter in the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, first chapter. And as Pastor Philip has always said here at Vertical, we believe in the gospel and everything concerning the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. Okay? We've been in Genesis. I won't quite get your Revelations, but I'll get close there, okay? John chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. And that's the NIV version. Some translators say the darkness has never overpowered it, meaning the light, or the darkness has not put out the light, and that's true. Light overpowers darkness each and every time. And the darkness will never understand that. So we see he's the center of it all at the beginning. Now let's look at some scriptures looking at the center of it all presently, here and now, and into the future. Ephesians 1, where Pastor Phil was at several weeks ago. I'm going to begin at verse 18. Of Ephesians chapter 1. I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you. That word enlightened, it's not a light like this. It's the enlightening of our hearts to understand. It's the enlightening of our hearts to understand. In order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is like the working of his mighty strength, which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly realms. For above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every title that can be given, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come, here and now and in the future. Verse 22, and God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be the head over everything for the church. That's us, the body of Christ, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. He's at the center of it all. He's the head. We're the body. And we're at the center with him. Now, I love reading this these verses from Eugene Peterson's The Message, which is a paraphrase. Some people don't like paraphrases, but I do. If you think back, a lot of the hymns, a lot of the songs we sing are nothing more than paraphrases of the scriptures, right? Yeah. Right? Amen. So, okay, this is from The Message, from around verse 20 to verse 23 of Ephesians 1. All this energy issues from Christ, God raised him from death and set him on a throne in deep heaven in charge of running the universe, everything from galaxies to governments, no name and no power exempt from his rule. And not just for the time being, but forever. He is in charge of it all. Praise God, he is, and not me. He is in charge of it all, has the final word on everything. At the center of all this, Christ rules the church. The church, you see, is not peripheral to the world. The world is peripheral to the church. The church is Christ's body in which he speaks and acts, by which he fills everything with his presence. See, we are his hands and feet. We're the body. He's the head. He's in charge. He's at the center. We're his hands and feet, and we're just as much at the center of it all as he is. When I first got a hold of that, that the church is not peripheral to the world, because, you see, I had probably had some messed up thinking at one time in my life that the church is here, and we're knocking on the world saying, let us in, let us in. I got something to tell you. Let me in. But that's not it. The church was right there in the middle of everything to start with, and the world is around the church. And it's just us going and being hands and feet, because we're in the world. Does that make sense? It makes sense to me that no matter where I'm at, I'm his hands and feet, and I'm in the world. We're in the world, but not of the world. That's another message for another time. And Paul continues some of this same thinking and flow of scriptures in Colossians chapter 1. We're going to go to the verse 16. For by him all things were created. Okay? Again, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things were created by him and for him. He is before all things. You read that, right? Genesis and Ephesians. And in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is beginning of the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Then one more verse. Over one chapter, still in Colossians chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. For in Christ all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form, and you have been given fullness in Christ. He's speaking to believers, us. Mars, you have been given fullness in Christ, who is the head over every power and authority. One of these years, one of these days, one of these weeks, one of these months, I have latched on to that verse for a number of years now. And I'm thinking, Lord, if that's been given, you have been given the fullness of the deity, and you're the head, and we have been given the fullness of Christ, who is the head, and we're the church. He said, greater things than these will you do. And there are some churches that see that happening. My prayer is that all churches will see that happening. Yeah. That the fullness of him that indwells us just spreads. Amen, Bobby. So we're seeing Christ as the center of it all. And since he is the head in the center of it all, the church is right there at the center of it all. And the world needs to know that we are the hands and feet. And like I said, every time we're out in public, it doesn't matter. When he's the center, we're right there in the world, showing the world what it is to know him as our Lord and Savior. Now, just some practical things here on staying on center with him, okay? One, it's choosing, which most of us as believers, if not, listen, there are people. If you're sitting here and you say, what is this choice you're talking about? It's believing that Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior, that he came to earth as a man, that he was crucified, that he was buried, and he rose again on the third day, and through his blood and his scars and his body, we are sanctified and made holy. He is our Savior. If you don't know that, let's get with someone on the prayer team later on, get with me, get someone else. Maybe you're here with a neighbor that knows all that. And listen, it's open for everyone. It's open. Wednesday night, Pastor read John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave. But Jesus right here in our midst. Amen. So it's a choice of putting Christ at the center of your life. And it's knowing that you belong to him. It's knowing that you belong to him, that to realize who you are in Christ and then who Christ is in you. Always living, always active through Holy Spirit. So it's choosing to want Christ, choosing to know him more and more, and that's a scripture from Ephesians 1:17. Paul says he's praying for us. Part of Paul's prayer, I pray that the God of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, would give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation to know him more. Him at the center, we want to know more and more and more about him. And you have to live like it. You know, the old saying, you can't just talk the talk. You have to walk the walk. You have to live. We're the hands and feet. We're the one that shows the world what it is to live with the gospel truth within us. Amen? So you choose. Another thing you have to stay on center is the word itself. I've said this I don't know how many times when I've been up here. I love this book. I love this book. So reading the word, Pastor has encouraged us that there's a reading program you can go to online that takes you through the Bible in a year. I'm in the midst, probably for a second, maybe the third time, of going through the Bible in 3 years. Takes a little longer. But I'm able to just to meditate a little bit more and seek things out. And rather than thinking, man, I got to get through the Bible in a year. There's nothing wrong with that. I've done that. I've read through the Bible chronologically. Now, that's a trip because it doesn't match this. But it's interesting. It really is. But find a reading plan. And you may start with something little. My pastor, when I first came to the Lord back in, 1925, but that's not right. 1975. I don't know where that came from. But, just start reading a proverb a day. This 30 proverbs. Yeah, take you a month. Just read one a day. Or read 3 or 4 psalms a day. You know, whatever it takes. But find a way to get into the word that centers the word in your life. Amen? Read the word. Memorize the word. Now, a lot of people don't like that because it takes a little bit more brain power. I know it does for me. The only way I have found out that I can memorize certain scriptures is, and this is me, I just write it. Then I write it. And then I write it again, and then I write it again, until I'm not looking at the line above me. I'm just writing the verse. That works for me. Find out a way to memorize scripture for yourself. One I memorize and I wake up with just about every day, saying it before I even get out of bed, is "This is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it." And I can't say that without a smile coming on my face. I can't explain it. I say that, and there's a smile on my face. No matter what I know I might be facing later in the day, there's a smile on my face. And another one is, "May the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing or acceptable unto you, O Lord." See, my mouth can get me in trouble throughout the day. I don't know about you, but it does. And my thought life can if I don't take control of it and have Christ at the center. Amen? So my mouth and the meditation, let it be of him. There's others I could go into that are on my memory list. Let me put it that way. But get some scriptures. Memorize them, okay? You'll find out as you read the word, and as you memorize the word, listen, this is what you can do. The memorized word can be prayed. Reading the word, it can be prayed. So praying the word, personalizing the word is like a prayer. "This is the day the Lord has made. Mars will rejoice and be glad in it." You can personalize all that because it's written for us. Amen? And then the last of that part, after choosing, getting into the word, memorizing the word, praying the word, is we've got to activate the word in our lives. And that's a choice. Again, going back to, "This is the day the Lord has made. I will." It's my will. I've got to choose to do that. I've got to make that choice to want to do that. So activate the word is a choice. It doesn't happen by itself. Even saying, "May the words of my mouth," I've got to activate the words of my mouth, not the words. I can't tell you how many times I have to go back and apologize to people for the words coming out of my mouth, okay? One time it was a Taco Bell employee. I had to go back in, apologize. Thought I was so right about something. And got back to the car. My wife, Sarah, said, "Are you sure about that?" And I got to thinking about what I thought was supposed to be on sale, and I could get it, you know, 20 cents cheaper. And I was wrong, so I went back. The lady that helped me wasn't there. She was in the back. I had to have the manager call her for it. I had to apologize to her. And one time it was apologizing to a guy in a butcher shop. You know, when you walk into a butcher shop, I mean, this is like the butcher shop. You open the door, and every man there has got a knife in his hand. You know, and I'm there to apologize. So. Because of not watching the words coming out of my mouth. Okay. So, point one, when we read, memorize, pray, and activate his word, we are putting him at the center of our lives. When we read, memorize, pray, and activate his word, we are putting him at the center of our lives. Another point is surrendering it all to him. We sang about that this morning, didn't we? Lay it all down. Woo. He is the center of it all. Or is he? Is he the center of it all in your home? In your relationship as husband and wife? And as fathers and mothers to your children? Is he the center of it all? And even for children, we read this in Ephesians last week, Ephesians 6, 1 through 3. "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. For it is the first commandment with a promise, that it may honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise that it may go well with you and you live long on the earth. I had my three kids that I raised memorize that verse. Many times I said, do you want it to go well with you? Do you want to live long on this earth? Yeah, my dad would just say, I'm going to turn around and there ain't going to be nobody here but me. You know, I've had that said. So anyway, but yeah. Even at an early age, you can teach your kids to start memorizing the word. My kid, that was one I did have my kids to memorize, and they were very good at it. So in your work, is he the center of it all in your work? We talked about that in Ephesians, that we're to work. Our work is to be as unto him in the workplace. Took me a while to get a hold of that one. But I found out when I did, man, difficulties at work, yeah, it didn't make the difficulties go away, but me dealing with circumstances in this, it made those go a lot easier with difficulties at work when he's the center of it all in my workplace. How about your finances? Stepping on toes. You know, whether it's this, that's just my little old wallet, old school, checkbook, or for most people these days, I mean, everything, all the finances are right here for the world to see. You know, and or whether it's a laptop or a computer, but is he the center of it all in your giving, in your spending, in your buying? Is he the center of it all? Makes a difference. Is he the center of it all just in your relationships in general? Something to think about. Particularly father with their children, mother with their children. What about young men looking to be married? Is he the center of it all as you're seeking a bride to be? Are you willing to go through that waiting period and have him, have God to decide for you? Listen, it's waiting. Put me at the center, and I'll give you a bride that desires to follow me and to be your bride. And the same for young women. You know, that's an old word. I used it this morning. I didn't know if I wanted to use it again, but you know, is he at the center of your courtship? You don't hear about that much anymore. Is he at the center of you waiting for the man of God that he desires for you? Is he at the center of your relationships? Point two, when we surrender our home life, work life, financial life, relational life to him, we are putting him at the center of our lives. When we're laying all that down and saying, only you, Father. When we surrender our home life, work life, financial life, relational life to him, we're putting him at the center of our lives. The last point in this, and then I've got a closing point in keeping him at the center, is cultivating accountability. And we've heard that. I know I started hearing it 50 years ago about having accountability. The kingdom is no place for lone rangers. God even saw that himself from the very beginning when in Genesis 2, he created woman and said, man does not need to be alone. Kingdom is no place for lone rangers. So develop intentionally godly relationships. Men with men, women with women. I appreciate what Vertical does with the men groups here, the Man Church, and we have a Friday morning men's. It's coffee and prayer and devotion, and it's really good. You're welcome anytime, 6:30 on Friday mornings. And the women with the cast and all, they women with women. There's accountability there. I see it happening with different ones. But accountability should be a man to a man, a woman to a woman. Or as couples, it's nice to have a couple, a godly couple speaking to our lives. That's where Sarah and I was 3 years into marriage, and it was falling apart. And a godly couple came into our lives and helped us start knitting things back together. Accountability. And in the midst of accountability, listen, four things. Give permission for someone to give input into your life. Now, when you're talking about a godly relationship, accountability, input into your life. Actually, three things. Constructive criticism, not just criticism. I tell people there are plenty of critics in the world. Okay. But constructive criticism is something that builds you up, that encourages you, okay? Just criticism will tear you down. Don't listen to that junk. And then a correction, to be able to give that person the ability to speak correction into your life. That's what I did with my pastor and his wife while they were helping Sarah and I get our marriage put back together. Correct me. And I would say every single time, it wasn't a beatdown. It was pointing me back to the center of it all, his word. Yes. Morris, do you know what his word says about how you're treating your wife? Morris, do you know what his word says about raising your children? Morris, do you know what his word says about being in the workplace? I always pointed back to the word. So point three, when we implement godly accountability into our lives, we're letting others help us to keep him at the center of our lives. When we implement godly accountability into our lives, we're letting others help us to keep him at the center of our lives. I'd like to ask the worship team to start coming back up, and we'll start closing in on this and have some prayer time. Yes, we're in a season of thanks, and we're Thanksgiving, thanks and giving. A season of receiving. For some people, that's a hard one. Receiving. Pastor Phil said Wednesday night, I think I said this, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave, we have to receive Christ as our Savior. We're in a season of love and joy and compassion and peace because he sent his love, he sent his son into the world. He is the center of it all. And he's been at the center from the very beginning. Christ in us. Christ in you. The hope of glory, which we're celebrating. The hope of glory has come. And as believers, since he is the head and we are the body, we're just as much as the center of everything because we're his hands and feet. Everywhere we go. You know, part of the armor of God is shodding your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. That's in Ephesians 6. So everywhere our feet are, as believers, the gospel is right there. Without a doubt, the gospel is right there with us. Never are we without it when we have his full armor with us. final point. When we put him at the center of our lives, then we, as the church, as his hands and feet, become the center for the world to see him through us. The world gets to see him through us because they're looking. The world is looking. You might be surprised, but they're looking. We're going into some closing songs here, and if there's a part of your life you're thinking, man, I've laid it almost all down. Almost. No, it's got to be all down. And listen, I still have to come to some things and say, I need to lay this down. And that goes for all of us. We all probably have something we need to lay down so that we can recenter on him. Amen. So if you need prayer, we'll have the prayer team on the sides. I'll be down here, so just welcome. If you want to just come down and say, do it yourself. Just say, Lord, I'm here. I'm surrendering it to you. I want you at the center of everything in my life. Take time to do that. Take time to do that.